Hey there, teachers. In today's episode, we are diving back into the topic of differentiation, but we are doing it through the lens of Bloom's taxonomy. It is a great discussion full of practical strategies that you'll be able to try in your classroom as early as tomorrow. So get your pen and pencil ready, and don't forget to grab the free download in the show notes below. All right, let's go ahead and listen in. Hi there, Caitlin here. Our mission at EB Academics is simple. Help middle school ELA teachers take back their time outside of the classroom by providing them with engaging lessons, planning frameworks, and genuine support so that you can become the best version of yourself, both inside and outside of the classroom. So if you think you might be ready to try something new because you know you simply cannot continue the way that you have been, then I'd invite you to take a moment to check out the EB Teachers Club, the EB Writing Program, or the EB Grammar Program by visiting the links in the description of the podcast. We hope to continue to support you within one of our programs in the future. And in the meantime, we look forward to serving you right here on the podcast each week. All right, you guys, welcome back to another episode of the Teaching Middle School ELA podcast. I gotta be honest, it's so fun, Megan, to have you here. I love it.
Thanks. I agree.
Here. It's the best day.
It's like, it just adds month. Like another like layer of fun, of personality. I don't know. It's just the best. So
don't you feel like you're just like back in the classroom, Caitlin? Like we're just hanging out with friends at work talking
totally.
About things. And I love
talking
it.
About
I'm
things.
That teacher that's bothering you during your plan period.
And we're you are not that teacher.
Were you that teacher, Megan?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Sometimes I got work done during my planned periods, but I was that person that would go socialize. Yes.
That is so funny. You know what? I commend you for having the self-awareness to admit that you are that person. Because I feel like most people who are that person don't even know that they are that person.
Right. True. Yes. Oh yeah. No, I knew.
Hilarious. I love it. Well, thanks for being here. We so enjoy having you on the
thanks
podcast.
Thanks for having me. Absolutely.
So today we're talking about a simple hack to differentiate your lessons. We also have a free download for you that we'll describe for you in detail a little bit later. That link for you is in the show notes, so make sure that you go grab that because it's going to make what we're talking about today much more easily implementable in your classroom. Is that a word? Is that a phrase? Much more easily implementable? If it's not, it makes sense. You know what I mean? So I just remember Mr. Yeager, my English teacher in high school, would always be like, if you make up a way of saying a word and it makes sense to people, that means that you really actually understand the English language. So I've always taken that as if I make up a word, it means I'm smart. So it's all good.
I like it.
Not the opposite. I love how he reframed that for all of us. Okay, so today's a super simple hack that you can help that will help you seamlessly incorporate differentiation into your ELA lessons. So we talk about all the time at EB, standards are the North Star in your classroom, right? The standards are the North Star. Your target, your task, your assessments, those are all aligned with your standards. But what do you do when some of your students are having difficulty meeting those standards and others are capable of learning far beyond those standards? And let's be honest, that's just the reality of what happens in our classroom any given day with any given topic. Like it just always is. That will just always be the reality. And if we were back in college, right, in one of our teacher prep courses, your professor would likely talk all about increasing or decreasing cognitive levels so you can provide enrichment and support. And I don't know about you, but that harkens back to like a week spent on an hour lesson of like all of the details and stress and anxiety. And oh my gosh, I don't know about you, but like I had to submit like all of these things to the state of California with like four different, oh my God. And to like get through those, I'm like, this cannot be the reality at all. And now it's like, you write it on a post-it note. Like this is my lesson plan, but you just get good at it, you know? And I get what they were trying to do, but I'm sure for you guys, when I said that, it brought up all of those feelings of having to create more work for yourself in order to meet the needs of your students with where they're at. You know, maybe you're picturing small groups and each group has their own differentiated assignment, right? And you're frantically trying to go from group to group, or you see yourself working with students who are struggling and crossing your fingers that those other students are going to be on task and well-behaved. And maybe you don't even do this in your classroom because of those fears and because of those reasons. And you're like, I just can't go there, right? So today's episode is absolutely not about creating more work for you and less work for your students, depending on how they learn. Instead, it's about going up or down a taxonomy level within the standard that you're covering. And the free download that we're going to share with you guys, I think, is going to make this so much easier for you as well. So we're taking differentiation and we're just trying to make it a heck of a lot easier for you. So Jessica, if you want to kick us off with this.
Yes. So I actually want you to go back to that college class that you had where you were learning about cognitive levels and taxonomy. And I am willing to bet you remember at least hearing the name Bloom, right? Bloom's taxonomy. I feel like that was in every single education class. And it was like the holy grail of lesson planning. We had to use it, like Caitlin was saying, to create those massive units. And you're like, oh my gosh, that took me hours. This is a 32-minute lesson, right? In reality, Bloom's taxonomy, it's awesome information for us as teachers. But when we were in college, we probably weren't using it in a very practical way. So we kind of like brush it aside, right? Now we're doing those post-it type lesson planning that like Caitlin was talking about. So how can we bring back Bloom into the classroom? And in case you're like, I don't even remember who Bloom was, here's a little bit of background for you. So he was this influential American educational psychologist, and he and his colleagues developed Bloom's taxonomy in the 1950s. And basically, it's a framework that organizes educational objectives and learning outcomes into a hierarchy of cognitive skills. So I want you to picture a triangle that's broken into six different levels. And at the very bottom of the triangle, so that longest, biggest piece, you have remember. So this level involves recalling or recognizing information. So basically, students are demonstrating their memory of facts or of concepts or information. So a question a teacher might ask at this remember level might be something like, identify the setting introduced in the first chapter of the novel, or name the protagonist. And all students have to do is kind of recall that information. Boom, they're good to go. The next level, moving up the pyramid in Bloom's taxonomy, is understand. And at this level, students are comprehending the meaning of information, right? They're interpreting, explaining, and summarizing. So you can see how this goes beyond recall or beyond memorization, and it gets students to start thinking about and processing the information that they're learning. So if you were asking your students a question at this level, it might be something like, explain what you think the author of this short story is trying to say about friendship. So again, students are thinking a little bit harder here. They have to come up with a more thoughtful response. And then after that level, the third level is apply. And here students use acquired knowledge to solve problems or apply concepts to new situations. So a task you might give your students at this apply level might be for them to use the information from the story and then create a dialogue between two characters that explores a different resolution to the conflict. So now think about this. They're recalling or remembering what is the conflict in the story. They have to understand what conflict is, and now they get to apply it to a completely new situation. So again, you can see how this is becoming increasingly more rigorous for students. And then there are three more levels that Megan's going to walk you through.
Yeah. So we're going to move to the top half of the triangle now. And the next taxonomy level up is analyze. So at this level, students are breaking down information into parts and then examining the relationships between those parts. So they're identifying patterns, structures, and components. And so a learning task at this level might be to break down the elements of foreshadowing in a novel, per se, and then discuss how those elements contribute to overall suspense. I used to do this with like movie clips too, like bring in Hitchcock to your classroom, and it's great for breaking down those elements of foreshadowing. So the next level up is evaluate. This level involves making judgments about the value of ideas, materials, or methods. So students are really assessing and then critiquing information here. And that critique word really helps me with this one, I believe. So to include an evaluating task in the classroom, you could simply ask your students, do you agree or disagree with the protagonist's decision in the story? And then have them justify their opinion with evidence from the text. So I immediately think about like Katniss Everdeen in The Hunger Games. Like have them, you know, do you agree with what she did in this part of the story? And then, you know, justify it. So they're really, again, critiquing what that character did.
I'm going to interrupt right here because I actually ask this question on interviews for people at EB. I ask them, when do they believe it's okay to break the rules? And the way in which they answer that question tells me a heck of a lot about who they are as a person. So I just think that these types of questions, like, yeah, we're asking our students in middle school, but they're so applicable to the real world and like a real job that they're going to go do eventually. So in any capacity, it doesn't matter. It's not like we're, you know, just doing this to do this. Like, it's so relevant to real life. So sorry to interrupt. It just that popped into my brain. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. Finally, then the highest taxonomy level in the period in the pyramid is create. And so here is where students are using their knowledge to actually generate new ideas, new products, or new ways of thinking. And so this level really involves synthesis and then creativity. So at this level, you could ask your students to imagine, you know, maybe they're a script writer and they have to create an alternative ending to a play they're reading that showcases a different character's perspective and resolution. You could do that with a novel too, but the idea is that they're creating something new.
Creating something from nothing. I love it, which is like everything in life. Everything.
Absolutely.
Everything. So quick review. Six levels of Bloom's taxonomy are remember, understand, apply, analyze, evaluate, and create. Okay, and you're like, that's great, you guys. Thanks for walking me through that. But what does knowing these levels have to do with a simple hack to differentiate your lessons? And so like I said at the beginning, we're going to provide you with your own taxonomy pyramid. And the hack has to do with the verbs that we've listed at each level of that pyramid. And again, you can grab your copy of that in our show notes. And so make sure that you download this, print this out, keep it taped to like your desk or a cabinet or a table where you do group work, something where you can quickly access it during class. So you can just differentiate on the spot. And we're going to give you examples of what this looks like and what we're talking about. So when you're working on a particular standard in class and you realize that as usual, right, you've got some students who are on level, some students who could benefit from additional support. And then those students who are just ready for the next level, they're ready to go, enrichment, right? You can go look at that pyramid and quickly and efficiently adjust by assigning a different verb to each group of students. So I'm going to have Jessica give us an example for what this actually looks like in the classroom so you can see it at play.
And again, I think the key to remember here is you want to have that pyramid out because this doesn't work if you can't come up with a new verb on the spot. So you want to be able to access that pyramid quickly. So I want you to imagine you're in the middle of your sixth grade literature lesson, and your objective for the class period is describe how a particular story's plot unfolds in a series of episodes. This is a very common standard, right? Especially if you do Common Core. So you take a minute and you look at that verb in the skill or in the standard. It's describe, right? And you quickly glance at that taxonomy period that you're going to download from us, and you see that the verb describe is listed on the understand level. So this objective might be perfectly fine for your on-level kids, but you know, okay, I want to differentiate for my students. So what you're going to do is you're going to look for a verb at the taxonomy level below understand, which would be remember on the pyramid, and you're going to create a task for your students who need support. And then you're going to look for a verb at the taxonomy level above understand in the pyramid, which in this case is apply. And you're going to come up with a task for your students that will be enrichment, right? They're ready for something a little more challenging. So again, the target skill still remains the same for all your students. It's still going to be about the story's plot unfolding, but the task that you're giving your students is what's differentiated. So I want you to check this out and think about how you could quickly do this on the spot in the classroom. So on level again is describe how a particular story's plot unfolds in a series of episodes. For support, I'm going down one level and I'm going to pick the verb identify. And I might tell my students that I want to focus on this, identify the main parts of the story's plot. And then for enrichment, I'm going to go up above the next taxonomy level and I might choose the verb illustrate. Illustrate the climax of the story's plot and explain why it's the turning point of the story. So again, all about plot, but you can see the complexity of the tasks that you're giving your students are different, right? And all you're doing is coming up with a different verb from that taxonomy pyramid. So when I was saying, like, back in college, we learned all this great stuff and we were implementing it in all our lessons, it's wonderful, but how practical was it? This is the practical side of that, that you can quickly do it on the spot. And I'm going to throw in one more hack. I know we don't have it in our notes. Sorry, guys, but I think this is actually really cool. I actually learned about this yesterday from Pat, who was just on the podcast. So let's say you're struggling to even understand the standard to begin with. So you're like, that's great. I'm going to break it down and all that. and I don't even get what the on-level standard is. If you go to Schmoop, which I used to use all the
All the
time, like
time.
all the
Yes.
time, and I haven't been
Yes.
on it recently. Well, Schmoop has done an update where they now break down the standards into like friendly language and tell you what's the difference between, let's say, RL 7.2. So for seventh grade, what is it going to be in eighth grade? What is it going to be in sixth grade? So you can look and see and go, okay, if that's what they can be doing next year, how can I bring it up to that level or how can I lower it? So again, if you don't even understand the standards, go check out Schmoop and then come back and use the taxonomy pyramid to differentiate.
That's fantastic. And I was just thinking to myself, I wish I could take this episode and go back in time to when I first started in the classroom, because differentiation is such like a mystery, or it feels like a mystery. Like they throw this word at you when you first enter the classroom and you're like, huh, what? What are we doing?
Totally. It's so big. It seems so
yeah.
daunting.
So big. But this is so simple. Because to your point, Jessica, you're taking that same skill, but you're changing out the verb. And then that influences, you know, what we're assigning to students. So this is fantastic. So quick recap for everybody. So you're simply breaking down a standard and then identifying the verbs to create your overall learning target. Then you can break down that target into different skills based on your students' levels. So it really doesn't have to be complicated. And that's what I love about this. You're just taking that same target skill, but you're coming up with different verbs, which means you're giving different tasks to students. So some of us might be thinking, okay, but what if I have those students that are struggling at the remember level? Like they're stuck at the bottom of this pyramid. How do I build in support for them so that, you know, I can get them to come up the pyramid, right? Because there's no level below, remember. And that's where we suggest really focusing on that vocabulary and then prior background knowledge, because it's probably going to be necessary to spend some time front loading that information with students so that they can really successfully complete a task here.
And to kind of expand on that, if you didn't listen to the episode with Pat that aired at the beginning of March, episode 274 of How to Differentiate with Whole Group Instruction, she has some stuff in there that I think ties into this in terms of giving students, you know, different words or different ways of asking questions and things along those lines that I think will help with moving them from even below the remember up the pyramid of Bloom's taxonomy up into remember. So just to, again, another reminder that you got to get your copy of the taxonomy pyramid. It's in the show notes for you guys. Go download it, go print it out, go keep it next to you. And I think it's one of those things where it's like, we're building a habit of a new skill for ourselves that we're bringing to the classroom, and it ultimately it becomes second nature. And I can't remember if we talked about this on the podcast, Jessica, if it was at Batch Planning Live, but the whole concept of subconscious incompetence. Did I talk about those
BPL.
Four? So there's this concept of four levels of basically awareness and really learning a new skill. I equate it to this all the time of subconscious incompetence, meaning I'm not even aware of my incompetence around this thing, right? I don't even have awareness of it. Well, the next level is conscious incompetence. Well, at least I'm aware now that I have this deficit. And I'm not saying like a deficit in a bad thing. I'm saying it like this is a way that I get to up-level myself as a person, as a teacher. So this might be listening to this episode, that conscious incompetence, like, hey, I am now aware that I'm not utilizing this type of language, this type of differentiation into my classroom. Well, so then you move into conscious competence when you start practicing it all the time, right? You're aware of it, you're consciously doing it, right? All of this stuff. Well, then ultimately you move into subconscious competence, meaning it is so much a part of who you are and how you operate in the world that you just do it. It just becomes second nature to you. And so I like to think of that as a way for me, when I'm learning a new skill, that these are just the levels of which I go through and that we all go through when we're learning something new, and that ultimately it just becomes a part of how I teach. And so I think about if you put this into practice for a month, it's going to become so second nature to you that it's just a part of what you do in the classroom on a daily basis. So yeah, it might be hard in the beginning where you're learning to make it work at first, but if you stick with it and you consistently practice this with your students, just like we tell our students, you got to keep practicing, right? You got to go over those standards and those skills time and time again. You are no different, right? We're all humans learning new skills and new things to use in our classroom. So definitely make sure that you check this out and ultimately bring it into your subconscious competence, and you just crush Bloom's taxonomy and being able to differentiate for your students. So thanks you guys so much for joining us this week on the podcast. Next week, Megan will be back with her interview with Dr. Deanna Smith, talking all about intentionally bringing joy into your classrooms. Super excited for you guys to listen to that episode. And thanks you guys so much for being here.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Have a good week, you guys.